Welcome to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Brought to you by JetX, the world's favorite private aviation company.
There are so many exciting things going on at Relais Chateau at the moment. This is a very family-oriented group of passionate hoteliers who are hospitality professionals centered around food. So much is going on, and I wanted to have another chat with the president of Relais Chateau, Laurel Gardinier. Laurel, Relais is a family, and this has come out again and again at this marvelous rendezvous in Copenhagen, where we're speaking now. What do you see as a family in Relais?
It's a family because everybody who is there, you don't choose your family, generally speaking. Here, people choose to be part of Relais.
And this is what is so different.
But it's a family in the sense that there are roots, values, history that are shared by the same members. I mean, all the members want to be part of this story. And little by little, you create a family spirit. It means that you have members coming from 65 different countries, having different type of hotels and hospitality, but all of them are linked by the same wish of being in their community, in their local history, part of the same story. So the fact that we choose the member upon those criteria of sustainability, of local environmental, of being included in the community, small hotels, probably more boutique hotels than anyone else, means that little by little you shape a network, you shape a bench of manager or owners or chefs that are working under the same banner. And this is why we are a family.
And this is why Relais is unique. There are other groups, many other groups, but I have never come across a group which is like a family. Everybody looks after everybody else.
Everybody.
I love the way that you divide your family, which is, my goodness, nearly 600 members. You divide them into 20 delegations. So everybody belongs to a smaller family. And therefore, through the smaller family, they have direct connection to you.
Exactly.
You're the grandfather, but you're too young to be a grandfather.
No, but it's true that we are divided because we are. There is something that is very special. We are a non-profit organization. We don't have any equity. The brand belongs to the member. It belongs to nobody else. This is a very special, and we are here dedicated to the members to provide them with service, with business, with everything. But there is something under this word non-profitable organization that makes us very special. It means that we are there to help the other. We are here to help the members. We are here to serve the members, to serve the members.
And the new members this year at the 2023 rendezvous were offered all kinds of services. They could talk to people about public relations, about finances, about administration. The new members had a special day, in fact, of offerings when they could find out more about the family. And I was really interested talking to some of the members. One who's got a great philanthropic operation going in Sierra Leone.
Paul Skinner.
Yeah, which is actually funded by his hotel, in Scotland. So philanthropy, which is part of ESG, comes out again and again.
Yes, we have a lot of members who practice philanthropy. We have beautiful hotels in Peru also that practice philanthropy with a big child, I would say not hospital, but child house. We have also philanthropy in South Africa or Botswana. We have a lot of members who are just practicing on their own philanthropy. It is true. It is true.
And this is part of one of your great platforms. You became president a year ago, and the whole sustainability, ESG, community awareness side is one of your main determinations during your presidency.
It's true, and to these 2 days, we have tried to dig into what would be the DNA of Denmark and could have links with what we do in hospitality. So that's why we found design, architecture, and gastronomy that are two things that are very special in Denmark. And they had a good connection with what we're doing. Of course, there is also sustainability in Denmark. You had the COP, you have all those events. But the idea was not to we spread ourselves in many subjects, was to concentrate on two or three. And this big subject, which is sustainability, will be seen and developed in Paris in 2024.
Oh, good. And of course, next year, the 2024 rendezvous will be very special because it's the 70th birthday.
Can you imagine
70th of Relais Chateau, which started as a little gathering of eight people who were talking about whether or not to join together to pay for advertising. What an amazing story.
It's an amazing story.
And now you're in a situation that you have so many people applying to be members of Relais that you can basically choose where you need to be to develop.
We see that the more selective we are for our property, the more attractive we are. We don't do it to be attractive. We do it because our DNA is to move forward the high standards of quality in terms of emotion. Of course, you need to have the good hardware hotel, but it is not only what we find, what we try to find. We try to find the emotion, we try to find the commitment and the dedication of the people. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any emotion in the guest experience. So this is what we try to find. And it's true that we are very selective because it's very, very seldom to find that in a hotel. It's not only a matter of money. It's a matter of human spirit, human teams, the way the people, the architect, the owner, the general manager understand the local, I would say, environmental and other stuff makes us choosing a hotel or not. So we receive, as we said, more than 500 applications direct per year. And among this canal, because we have other canal of applications, we just, on this channel of application, we just received 1% of it.
1.4%. This is absolutely staggering. What if there are two properties that both fit the geographical hopes of the association, and things like finances and design are more or less similar, what are the final differentiations that might make a difference?
We would have the quality of the table.
Food. That brings us back to food.
Because, you know, the DNA, we are the most important gastronomic organization in the world.
How many Michelin stars have you got, Laurel?
370.
Oh, my gosh. The mind boggles, doesn't it? Yeah. You could eat Michelin starred every night, every day of the year, and then some more will come along. And it was fascinating in the food session here at the 2023 rendezvous in Copenhagen when we really dug deep into why food in Denmark is so special today, so it's revered, it wasn't just a case of getting Noma up on the stage, but you had Claus Meyer, one of the co-founders of Noma, talking about how it came about that there was a need for a food revolution here, and how Claus Meyer was working with the government, working with other authorities to get the food revolution started.
It's true. And that is something that is very, very special to Denmark. Mm. As Claus said, you know, Denmark brought on the table a new step into the culinary revolution, where all of a sudden this region that was considered as quite poor on the culinary scene, worldwide culinary scene, turned to be, because it was a wish, turned to be one of the most exciting scene. And this, I would say, this revolution enabled us to have also members, Royal Chateau members, because the food is there. So we have good restaurants in the hotels, we have nice boutique hotels, but it is not enough. As we need to also add food, so that's why we could implement ourselves and develop ourselves in this region.
So you got the food, you got people who own hotels who want to be part of you, you've got guests, numbers going up and up, and I was particularly fascinated that the figures for your younger visitors, the younger customers, guests we can call them, are rising much more than some other age groups.
Exactly.
We heard today that the younger millennials and the Gen Zs are the ones who are becoming more important in the customer base.
That's exactly what we want to do.
Isn't that amazing? What are you doing to attract a 24-year-old?
First of all, those millennials, if they are just traveling by themselves, need to have kind of a means, because we are not 100% dedicated to young people that travel with a backpack.
Yeah.
So we need to be aware of that. Secondly, if they come to our networks, it's because I think that we meet with the expectations of the new travelers. It means we give sense where we are located, because you can discover the community and the local areas through what we are doing, because we are a symbol of them. Secondly, we are very precautious with sustainability in our hotels. And also, we are not, based on a luxury with
models. Oh, you're using that word that we haven't used. I haven't heard for the last 3 days.
It's useless to use it, because it's not up to us to say that we are a luxury hotel. We don't like to do it. I mean, the luxury can be space. Can be a beautiful view, can be a connection with an animal, can be a connection with other people. So the definition of luxury is not to have marble and golden faucet. This is nothing to do with luxury. Luxury is much more about time, is much more about, of course, there is a quality, there is a level, of course. But we are not, you know, when we are talking about this beautiful property, I was in Patagonia. This is luxury, but you don't have especially marbles in the bathroom. This is not what people, but this is a real luxury. Oh. It's pure luxury for me, but it's a luxury of the connection. It's a connection of what you're doing. It's connection with Mother Nature. How do you learn with those beautiful mountains? This is the reality of luxury for me.
Oh, and it is for more and more people who are biologically young. I think one of the secrets, Laurent, if I may, is that you seem to be perennially ageless. Look at you last night at the Viking evening. My goodness, you could have been 22 years old, leaping up and down in Viking style.
Exactly. So this is the kind of stuff that I'm very funny to.
And you were having fun, and you're having fun, and you're having fun now thinking about it.
Of
How much help is it to you being a hotelier yourself, and how
it's
are you
absolutely key?
And how are you bringing youth into the whole appeal of Les Croyers in Champagne?
We don't change. We are doing what we are doing. We try to do it the best. We try to evolve and to, of course, to change a little bit with the tendency, but the DNA of Les Croyers doesn't change. I think that it's one of the reasons that people like to come, whatever the age is, because they found that we stick with consistency. What is the reality of this property? As our members are doing the same, and it's we don't have to run after the young people.
They come to you.
We have to keep in consistency, and this consistency, this DNA, now meets the wishes of the young people.